appointment with my OB-GYN that Friday. It was just like so lucky. And I said to him, John, do you like this? He said, no. I said, I don't like it either. He said, I think we ought to check it out. Who's your surgeon? I said, Anthony Harris. I said, I want to see Tony Harris. He was my mother's dear friend, and he's so good to my mother, and that's who we're going to see. Tony Harrison.
Oh, okay.
So, I had a guest day, which I invited my very good friend Ada Davis to be my guest at Green Oaks, and we played the 18 holes, and it was now 2:30, and my appointment was at 3. So I said to her, I'm going to leave you here with the other girls to have lunch. I'm going to cut out, you understand, and I told her why. She said, fine. Cut out, did the needle biopsy. With Tony Harrison. My grandchildren were in town for the All-Star game, so they were visiting. And the All-Star game was that Tuesday that he did the biopsy. Wednesday passes. Thursday, we take the kids all over to Tessero's restaurant. That's the 6 of them. And Alder and I, it was like the 8 of us. And we came home, the phone rang 7 o'clock, and it was Dr. Harrison. And he said, I want you to sit down. Came out positive. Cancer. I said, okay. I want you to check this out, and you have to do a battery of tests first. You have to get the MRI, and you have to do the lung, and you have to see your general doctor, and you have to do blood work. And he said, and then I want you to come in here. And I came in, and I was in the OR the 21st of July. He came up to the room and he said, we took 14 lymph nodes and you have the most aggressive kind of cancer that anybody could have. It's a young, aggressive cancer. So I swallowed that. He said, I want you to see Dr. Samuel Jacobs. I've come to the hospital. Prior to his coming, I had a visit from Ann O'Connor, who's Dennis O'Connor's wife. She's an oncology nurse. I knew all about her. I knew all about her background before they came here from the University of North Carolina, how devoted she was to breast cancer. She came up. She said, you know I'm Mary Lou's friend. I said, you know I was in your living room for the Race for the Cure, and I told you what gorgeous kids you had. She says, yes, I remember you. I said, okay. She said, you're going to be fine, and I want you to let me watch you. So she did. And then the doctor came. Dr. Jacobs came in, and he said, this is after the surgery. Breasts, what do you need them for? If we decide that we're going to take off the breasts, what do you need them for? Okay. So I got scared of him from go. Now, as I'm heading for my last treatment on April the 4th, I can tell you, absolutely, an angel that came down from the blue.
What kind of treatment, Kim?
I have 12 chemotherapy treatments. I had 4 beginning August the 4th of adriamycin. That is the strongest treatment you can have. And the last 8 treatments, these are all 3 weeks apart. The last 3 treatments, the last 8 treatments have been CMF.
Is that a chemotherapy?
It's a chemotherapy. And then a doctor, after the first treatment and the rest of the tests come back, you know, it takes sometimes 6 weeks, he says, I have one wonderful thing to tell you. You've got very aggressive hormones. They're fighting in there. I said, okay. And then I snapped from I'm going to die. I'm going to get better. And I said, when can I start back to working out? I don't even have. And I had this thing in there hanging for about 6 weeks, that drain. I lift. I do all that stuff. And I can tell you that mentally I am superb. I don't think about it breaking out anywhere else.
Good.
I don't think about any of that. And then I have a friend who put me on vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And the vitamins have been very pleasant and very whatever. But as far as the cancer, I'm not dismissed yet. I see Dr. Harrison on April 4th. I see Dr. My last treatment's April 4th. But I think I've weathered the storm very well. I look better. I still am anorexic. I don't want to be over a certain weight. So the vegetables are not that bad. And you still get the vitamins. And I'm a little crazy with being driven in certain lines.
When you say you're still anorexic, is this prior to the cancer? Have you always been anorexic?
Oh, yeah, watch. Like anybody would tell me you look good, that means you've gained a couple of pounds. I mean, it's like my niece is anorexic, too. She's a very big doctor. Joe. I mean, it's just, I think, a family thing about hating, you know, to be heavy. And heavy, no one in our family ever was that heavy, you know, like you see today. But the cancer in my head is going to be like everybody else's cancer. I'm going to be an up person. I would like to write a book about it. I would like to write a book about hope and heart and the fact that if you keep busy, you don't know where the time.
I mean, that'd be very helpful to some people.
I just accepted the biggest job for next October 15th. I just roll from one thing to another, and I loved Friday night. Jane Alexander was a delight. I tripped her twice.
She tripped her?
I pushed back for the pictures. I pushed back. I rolled a trip. She was cute. Then they started to flicker for the picture, and I said, oh, it's like OJ time. She loved that. She was natural. And what I'm saying to you is, there are 530 people came to that William Penn last Friday night to hear her, and it was a tremendous success.
Yeah.
And I pride myself because I kept it reasonable, and I had wonderful people came up with the menu.
Good.
Menu, very important.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
I wanted to go on a little further. I wanted to know. You said in about 3 years I'd like to cut this business.
Oh, I would.
I wonder, what do you see yourself doing after this?
Oh, I could probably get a professional job with any of my diseases, which I'm on the board of. And I can't tell you how many times a day I answer the phone. Could you get this? Where would I contact this? Just a network agency of my own. I should do that in the afternoon here when I'm not bored. I'm not bored because now I have shows. My shows came back. They were gone for a long, long time. People weren't partying, but I think there's a little bit of an upturn with partying now. Thank goodness.
Tell me what you mean by a network agency that you think.
By?
What did you mean by I'd like to have a network agency?
Well, that I can help people, but charge them.
Help them in what way?
Well, let's say you're having a 50th anniversary. I said, no, who should I call for a band and who should I do this? This doesn't mean I'm going to be your party planner. But maybe through me, your party, you know, just like a brokerage fee for items. I get calls for the craziest damn things you've ever heard.
How would it be different from a party planner, though?
It would be different. As a networker, it would be different. This person would be this for you, this person. And there's, I just feel this way very strongly, and I think you all should know it, that retailing is going to be over.
Yes, you
should. As we know it. There's no more service. There's no more stuff. And this, if 1% of the population is pregnant, half of them are borrowing. Now, these clothes can't last forever. I mean, some of these clothes I see on the street have been around for lots of years. And the supply, the source, gone. One man, right at this point, two men, over 1,000 stores. Now, you know they're not going to compete with themselves in the malls. They're going to close them and keep one. And so the business is going down. When these girls want to go to work, they're going to look ridiculous because there's not going to be any clothes to go around with.
But what you're saying in regard to a networking type agency is that you wouldn't
plan
a party, but
I don't worry about looking for employment. I don't know.
I'm not questioning that. I'm trying to understand how you would see yourself.
You put two ends together. Two people, one that offers a service and one doesn't know where that one is, so she gets that person.
Nice. But you would also consider working for one of the...
I would consider styling a line, which is so needed in this business, I can't even tell you. In fact, daughter and I have talked about it. Do I, at this point, want to go and put all that money into fabric and start again? Poor girls don't have money. They don't. They just don't. I mean, it's just a business to get me through. The name of my book is going to be 5, 6, 7, 8. That's when you need maternity clothes, when you start to swell.
So in other words, you're saying that when you get out of this business, you're going to get into some other business.
I'm going to go into a service business.
A service.
Yes.
You don't want to just go with your volunteer agencies.
I'd always serve on boards as a volunteer. I like that. I mean, I just love it. It's just the wonderful people you meet, all kinds of people.
Oh,
I'm a people person. Oh, love people.
You and your
I like nice people. I don't like people who are smart ass and know everything.
You're not planning something with your husband because we're both of you are retired and just want to do things together.
He has a business.
Yeah, I know. But do you ever together think that maybe in the future?
We fight. Oh. I shall never forget taking the bus home from New Kensington the first Thanksgiving we were married. So that would be 1952. I took the bus home because we were trimming the window on 10th Street in New Kensington, and he didn't like the window I put in. I said, I'm leaving. And I left, and I took the bus home.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that you can remember that one argument way back in 1952.
I remember.
It must have been memorable.
I remember everything about our life. I remember when we were in the CHIPS, communication system. My husband was a full partner there, and we got screwed out of that. I mean, I remember all these things we were saying.
Do you and your husband ever sit down and say, what are we going to do one day when...
No, because that day's here and we both know it. We can't even make a decision at Westview.
What do you mean?
Cemetery.
Pardon?
At the cemetery where those plots are going to be. I said, you go next to Stanley Gumberg's mausoleum by the road. I'm not facing the road. I'm facing the people on the center stage. And you have to joke about certain things.
Yes.
But I certainly am going to tell you this. This decision's coming very soon. Because no person should be saddled down with that. That's a lot.
Saddled down with what?
Making decisions of burial.
Yeah.
Very bad. You have to have your life that well organized. And my children are wonderful. When they came in from all over for this illness, and we laughed. I mean, they were so good to me. I still get served breakfast in bed.
Do you really?
Every morning, and then I give the dog half the cereal.
Your hot husband
cereal.
Serves you every day.
He's really worried about it. What are we having for vegetables tonight? We laugh.
So he's been extremely supportive.
Oh, yeah. Otter was absolutely one of the most handsome young men you ever saw. He had Graves' disease and
got this. Do you ever think of moving
close
to where your children are?
I can't even tell you how it takes me so long to get my life together without moving.
I meant to be nearer to some of your children.
Where in the world is it? Here he is. Our dumb dog. She's got a good system now because she eats oatmeal.
Oh, he is good.
Well, she eats oatmeal now every morning. She likes a little grapefruit too. She doesn't mind that.
That's very nice.
He's a doll.
He is.
Nice. He doesn't even get mad at me too much anymore. Gets a little mad.
That's all right. That's
nice
healthy.
Picture. It's just like his mother.
She didn't get angry?
His mother. Oh, she got so angry. She just got red in the face. The cigarette would hang, I told you, from the cash register. Take what you want to, you will anyhow. Do you know what? I have one son, and I hoped I wouldn't be ever that possessive of him. But you know what? Life plays funny tricks on
That's
you.
That's right.
And when you think about, you know, at the end of the thing, my husband is so honorable for him to have had such a terrible outcome with the investment we have. My husband was asked to join a syndicate group that was funding Gateway Communication System, Mass Management Communication System. We had the Penn State Network. We had TCS, Total Communication Systems. We did trips to Monte Carlo. We did trips to the St. Thomas. We took clients who advertised on WKPA and WYDD. They were our station. And my husband was a partner. And we had Nelson Goldberg with a controlling stock of 55%. All three other partners had whatever went into the other division. One of our partners was Bill Kelly. He took a heart attack at the wheel of his car. To this day, his estate has not been settled. He was sales manager of WTAE, and prior to that, he was with KDKA, a principled gentleman. And the other full partner was Herb Goldberg, and he was Nelson's brother. And Nelson screwed all of us. We got nothing from the company. He went Chapter 7. He bankrupted everybody. He bought Metro Sports in Baltimore. None of us knew about this. And Metro Sports was not a solvent company. And we sat there like asses in bankruptcy court. And I said to him, after a while, I'm not coming back here because this is going to go nowhere. That I'm not done until Nelson's in jail. $4 million house in Fox Chapel. $4 million, next door to O'Reilly. $1 million apartment in Meissner in Boca Raton. She's got cancer in both breasts. She had a brain tumor. I saw two at the doctor's shop. Met them on Sunday. Did the surgery. It's a nice way. People are okay. That what goes around comes around. And I'm going to tell you something. If they can have all that money in the world, we don't need to do. Mm. We don't need to do. And this little store helps Green Oaks. A lot of that right. stuff that doesn't have to, it comes in for the little extra thing. But you don't have to be the richest person in the cemetery, but you have to have a good name. He knows. He knows everybody. He knows how I hate him. Not done. You know, when I ran the marathon, the women's trail matches that year that we had them, 19, whatever. And he was walking up William Penway. He turned around so he wouldn't see me. Nelson Goldberg. I was standing with the elite runners. But you know what? He bankrupted all his friends in Pizzeria Uno, too. Mm. Kind of funny. One friend sticks with him, Cyril.
Just to wrap up a little bit. Could you tell us, Janet, how can you contrast, although it's such a dumb question, can you contrast the way you were raised compared to how you raised your children?
No, we're very much alike.
Okay.
Extremely alike. The only difference was having the space difference between the kids. And my mother always loved to shop or be out. She was not a homebody person. Nor was she ever close to us. And maybe that was because I wasn't close to her. I don't know. But I'm close to my kids. I have a good time with them, and they're funny, and we talk and swear and do all the things that they may not have done while I was being raised. On the other hand, I think the barriers came from my mother's own background, the fact that she didn't have a mother and was raised by a great aunt, you know? I think this has an awful lot to do with growing up. But as far as being fair and honest, my kids are wonderful straight shooters. but do you ever think about your life as sort of cleaning up your own house? If I get tired of doing one thing, I go to another. That's how I talk. That's how I think. And that's how I act. Boom, boom, boom. But I've got it all together. And I know that I'm as good as the next thing I do. And somebody said to me on the phone, why can't you come outside and smell the flowers? Isn't it enough proof for yourself? But here I am struggling with this show because I'm making this show as hard as I can possibly do this for Nancy Schumann. She was delightful and called me last October and said, I'm going out of office. I want you to write my show.
Nancy,
and this is for
office.
Next October? Is that?
No, it's for May.
Okay. Now, you said that you have a big event coming up in October.
October 15th.
Which is?
First annual leukemia run for women.
Good for you.
And I'm the race director, and Alan Steinfeld, my good friend, and Larry Kosmenko, who ran the Pittsburgh Marathon, who's a class act, are going to be the race directors. Now, I'm the race director, and they're the race organizers. And it's going to be wonderful, and I'm putting a committee together, and we're just going to meet on Monday. But when you work with pros like that, we're going to line up the city and use the Hyatt for this, and do the course record with a person like Ken Judson, who's a master marathoner. I mean, you really have fun doing this.
Who's Nancy Schumann, Jess?
Nancy Schumann is the president of Hadassah, which is going out March, May the 16th. But Hadassah is now taking in all of the suburbs. It'll be the Greater Pittsburgh Hadassah chapter.
That always was.
44 chapters.
So they're going
Clareton,
to...
Clareton, they're going to cut all those little fellows out. They're all going to come into the Pittsburgh... area. How do I feel about community? I love my Jewish community in Pittsburgh. I think there are a lot of II people. I think a lot of people go into it for the wrong reasons. But I think underneath in the heart of everybody who is a Jew in Pittsburgh, there's the right reason. And I think that the few who give the most, in many instances, deserve the most recognition. There are plenty of people who have given years and never got any COVID or whatever from it. And that's not right either.
That has been your main thrust, the Jewish organizations, right?
Yeah, because of my council. I mean, everything has its own time pattern, and I never would let go of the Ladies' Hospital Aid Dance because I love that picture. I love that. So much fun. It brought so many people to Pittsburgh for Hospital Aid. You know about them?
Mm-hmm.
I told you about them.
Yes.
And that was the most, still a great organization. We've been blessed in our family with good health. We have good kids. We had one that we lost. We wouldn't have had John if we hadn't had that. And I just feel that there is a God.
Well, you're certainly an upbeat person.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
That's been evident in all our meetings. It has been a joy. Let me ask you, what do you view as your most significant accomplishment?
The marathon. At 59 years old.
Marathon, the one for cancer.
No! The Pittsburgh Marathon, the first one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there something you would have changed in your life?
Is there something you would change? You want to hear what it is?
Okay.
All right, it's not. I would, if single, have been in Hollywood. Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have that much confidence in myself. How are you? Oh boy, you look like you're ready to pop. How much further?
Oh, 2 more months.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be early. How old is he? He's gorgeous.
He's two.
Look at him. Isn't he wonderful? What's your name?
Alexander,
what a strong name. Yeah, adorable.
Alexander, give me a minute. Let me just say thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to add or
that we've overlooked?
Well, I just love the National Council of Jewish Women because in these archives, are going to be what was the past, what was the present, and what the future's going to be. And the future's going to be in our young ones. They have to be ready to juggle the way I've juggled my whole life. You have to handle your job and handle your business and handle your PTAs and handle all that stuff. And that's another whole thing. I always wrote the PTA show. But I would have had fun out there.
In Hollywood.
So that's
it. They all write around a table. They sit and write.
You would have wanted to write with them. That's,
oh, sure.
Oh, I thought you were talking about acting.
Oh, wow. Because it's something that's been recognized by people who come in. Who wrote this? And I know that I could.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Let me tell you. I'm really glad I've met you.
Thank you, Marcy. I'm the nicest person.
And you be well.
Nice. You can find me. You're a funny girl. They all conked out.
Is
my
day
night. They were all terrible. They were so bad that
it's pretty soon. What are you going to do?
We're going to have to listen to them again. See if anybody resurfaces. We liked them the first time. What happened the second?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they just don't have quotes.
Yeah, right.
So then I started, could it be the piano player? Yeah. I mean, how could all of them have been so bad?
Especially if you like
I love them.
Excuse me, do you have her mind?
Your doctor. I got a program.
See, this is new. This is all natural.
Am I keeping your magazine?
Sure.
Oh, I thought you were making copies.
Bird swipes. I don't believe you. You like to suffer. What do you need?
I think you're going to have to make copies of her part of it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Rather than the whole magazine.
Yeah.
Do we need a picture of her?
Oh yeah, we need a picture.
I have another color.
Do you have a picture?
Do you have a picture?
Do I have a picture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of you. Of you.
I have one, but it's an old picture.
That's all right.
No, it's not all right.
Is there a picture in that magazine of you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the best picture I ever
took. Okay, then you could use that. We can use it. Well, we can.
Okay, we forgot to say that I'm never out of place without knitting needles in my hand, including the Pentagon and the Capitol.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I lost a couple needles there. But in the meantime, I love to knit, and I knit a lot of clothes.
Good.
And
for yourself,
I think it's very good.
For others.
Very good.
For others or for yourself?
Both.
For your grandchildren.
And I enjoy them. Yeah, and the...
Oh, booties.
For my good cousin.
Booties.
Getting
that's good.
Oh, what are you doing? That's your mommy.